What do you think about Ted Cruz's speech at the Republican National Convention? Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now our guest is Dr. Paul Kanger, a professor of history and political science at Grove City College, a best-selling author, and also a widely syndicated columnist. Dr. Kanger, thanks so much for joining us again on Vocal Point.
Yeah, anytime, Jerry. I love your show.
I love having you on. So let's talk about the Cruz speech, and a lot of people are putting a fork in him and saying he's done, he's finished, it's all over. First of all, what was your reaction to Ted Cruz's speech at the Republican National Convention?
Well, I thought it was great. I thought it was an act of courage. I mean, he really needed to say that. I am completely appalled, and I mean appalled, at the reaction of the Trumpists. And I call them Trumpists because there is a cult-like atmosphere among these people. I mean, the reactions by Trump supporters to Ted Cruz. I mean this is just, I'll tell you, Jerry, this is frightening.
Hmm.
I mean, this is you know that I for years have read the archives of Communist Party USA and groups like that, and the attack on Cruz by Trump supporters reminds me of the stuff that I used to read in Communist Party USA archives, where if you get a dissenter, they intimidate him, they coerce him, they call him names. In fact, the common name the Communist Party USA used to use for people like that was stool pigeon. They call him stool pigeon. They would call him traitor. And the language that's being used by the Trumpists is worse than that. And I'll give you a couple examples real quick. Roger Stone, who is one of the leading hatchet men for the Trump campaign, longtime friend of Trump, called Ted Cruz a, quote, treacherous, and I can't say the word, can I? I can't say it on Christian radio.
No, don't say it.
I can say it. Yeah, I can't say it on, I think I'd violate FCC regulations. He called him a treacherous male body part. We'll put it there. Michael Cohen, who, if you turn on Sean Hannity's show almost any Friday, he's on there absolutely blistering, excoriating anybody who says anything negative about his Donald, called Cruz a baby, a sore loser, said he was committing political suicide by not endorsing the leader. Congressman Peter King ripped Cruz as a fraud, a self-centered liar, said, quote, he should be disqualified from ever being considered as a nominee for president of the United States in the future. Chris Christie called Cruz awful and selfish, said he's done, shouldn't ever run again. My favorite, both New York Congressman Chris Collins and also Kayleigh McEnany, I don't know if you've seen her, but she is she's a Trump surrogate. They both accused Ted Cruz of narcissism, not Donald Trump, who I would bet is a literal clinical narcissist, but accused Ted Cruz of narcissism. And Sarah Palin has come out and told Breitbart that Ted Cruz is politically dead. She said that this betrayal of the leader, Donald Trump, is career-ending. And, you know, let the purge begin. You know, they want from Cruz either submission or his scalp. You know, it's like Trotsky said, we revolutionaries will not arrive at the kingdom of socialism with white gloves on a polished floor, right? We need blood to be spilled.
Wow.
And so they are demanding complete obedience from Trump. And to make this even worse, Jerry, let's keep in mind here, Ted Cruz is a guy who Donald Trump had for months called him lying Ted, cheating Ted, accused his father of being part of the assassination of John F. Kennedy.
Which is absurd.
Made fun of the looks of his wife, and did every possible thing. It's unbelievable, the treatment. You would think that if there was one person on the planet that the Trumpists would extend a modicum of grace, they would say to Trump, and Trump himself would say, you know, we were pretty hard on Ted, right? If there's one person that we shouldn't demand complete submission of, it's Ted. Let's cut him a little bit of slack. But no, instead, you know, he needs to get in line. He needs to endorse the leader. And if he doesn't, he will be destroyed. And so that's what they're doing now. They're destroying him. And this is appalling. I've never seen this type of behavior in America. If this is the new Republican Party that Donald Trump is forging, I want none of it. Goodbye.
Wow. Wow. You're kidding me. Okay, first of all, let me ask you this. Did he not? I didn't actually see the entire speech, okay, because I was actually traveling at the time. But I saw portions of it. Didn't Cruz basically make a case against voting for Hillary Clinton and at the end say, vote your conscience? If you read between the lines, then wouldn't that mean vote for Donald Trump? I mean, there's no other option, right? Hello?
Well, I mean, really, there's nothing objectionable at all what he said. I mean, we should all vote our conscience.
I agree.
And what the Trumpists don't like about this, again, cult-like, is that they want you to come out and say, they want Cruz to come out and say, you vote for Donald. You vote for the Donald. You are not allowed to vote your conscience. In fact, they want you to violate your conscience, if need be, to vote for Trump. You must follow the leader. You must follow the dictates of the party.
Yeah.
Party discipline, right? You follow the party. You do what the party does, comrade, right? You do what the party does. You know, there is no such thing as following your conscience if your conscience leads you to disobey voting for the leader. And I think this is scary. I really do. This is horrific. This is an atmosphere of intimidation, of harassment, of coercion. And they will not. I mean, I thought we liked manly men who want to do their own thing. I thought Sarah Palin liked manly men, right? But not here. And there was a great statement on this yesterday that was made in Cleveland. I guess it was yesterday. Well, it would have been Thursday. It would have been the Thursday, the morning after
the Cruz speech.
Yeah, mm-hmm. After the non-endorsement. And there was a great line from Ted Cruz where he said, here, I've got the quote right here. I'm not in the habit of supporting people who attack my wife and attack my father, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he said that the pledge that he once made to endorse the Republican nominee,
was
and bear in mind, that was long before anyone would have ever imagined that the nominee could have been Donald Trump, let alone someone of Trump's behavior. And Cruz said when he made that pledge, quote, it was not a blanket commitment that if you attack Heidi, I'm going to nonetheless go like a servile puppy dog,
mm-hmm.
unquote, back to his master. But that's what they want. I mean, you know, they want the image of you know, Trump ordering his puppy, right? Bark, Lion Ted, bark, right? Good boy, obey, obey.
Mm.
And that is, who could possibly object to that? If there's anybody that should be cut some slack for not endorsing the Donald, then it should be Ted Cruz. This is sad.
Well, it's interesting, too, because I think in a sense, again, if you read between the lines of what Ted Cruz said, how could you, I mean, it would be easy to surmise that he basically was saying support the party for the unity of the party. And of course, Donald Trump being the head of the party, you know, ipso facto vote for Donald Trump. But he's still saying vote your conscience. So I don't know. I don't see why people are being so mean to him. About this. It doesn't make sense.
He's Judas.
He was likened to Judas. Judas. It's amazing. And people are saying, put a fork in him. He's over. It's over. His career is over.
Right. How dare you do. And they're not just angry at him right now. They are saying that he's done for 2020. He's done. He's finished. Peter King said this. Chris Collins said this. Chris Christie said this.
Some focus groups said it, too.
Today. Yeah. What's that?
Some focus groups said it too.
Well, and then today Sarah Palin steps it up a notch and basically says his career is over. So maybe he should be banished from political life altogether. I mean, gee, you know, where's the howling wilderness of Siberia when you really need it, right?
You know, it's funny. Wait. Okay, you're familiar, I'm sure, with 1984, the great novel by George Orwell.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. In that,
great analogy.
It is tremendous. And they would have this two-minute hate during the day where they would show the image of Emmanuel Goldstein, who, by the way, is clearly Trotsky. Fell out of favor with Stalin. Stalin, of course, is Big Brother. And during the two-minute hate, all the people in the office and all the offices would yell at the image of Emmanuel Goldstein shown on the screen. And remember, one of the characters takes a big dictionary and heaves it at the image in the face, you know, and it hits the image of the face. I guess I'll have to do that in the offices. No, but all kidding aside, you surely don't want Hillary to be president, do you?
No, I don't. But that's totally aside from the point that, you know, we don't coerce people.
Yeah.
For their endorsement. And of all things, again, if there's one man in America who has the right not to endorse Donald Trump, it's Ted Cruz with the way that he was treated. And in fact, you know, people ought to really seriously think about this. I mean, given everything that happened here and this absolutely brutal treatment by Trump toward Cruz, his wife, his father, and there's no one that he admires more than his father. Let me ask Trump supporters this. Would you have any respect for a man, I'm talking here about Ted Cruz, who after all this heap of abuse would crawl back to Cleveland and endorse Donald Trump? I mean, he would have to be the biggest patsy, you know, sissy in the history of American politics.
Mm. Okay.
He would have to be just a complete wimp. If Ted Cruz did that, I'd lose all respect for him.
You call him Trumpists. I call him Trumpkins or Trumpsters. but okay, I was in a discussion, a lively discussion, with a Trumpster the other day, and the issue was on the John F. Kennedy thing. And I said, look, that is just so absurd for Rafael Cruz. And the guy said, yeah, but you weren't there. How do we know Rafael Cruz didn't associate with Lee Harvey Oswald or wasn't in on the plot and so forth? And it's like, wow, Vincent Bugliosi wrote a masterful book, you know, at near the end of his life. Just there's no way it was anybody but JFK. I mean, Lee Harvey Oswald that killed JFK. I mean, there's so many books and documentaries about this. And there's only the two or three bullets that they found or whatever. There's no additional bullets, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
See, we use the disparaging phrase Kool-Aid drinker, but that's drinking the Kool-Aid. I mean, you ought to be able to look at that and say, you know, all right, okay. I still like Donald Trump, but man, that's a bunch of bunkum.
Yeah,
right?
Hooey.
I mean, that's really crazy. But then again, see, if you do that, then you think to yourself, well, if Trump would peddle that on Fox and Friends, then he's kind of crazy. And so I can't really support somebody that nutty. So what do? You drink the Kool-Aid, right? You think to yourself, well, all right, then I have to just go with what the Donald says. You know, Lion Ted, Dad's behind the assassination of JFK. That's when you really lose it and go overboard, and then you're kind of, you know, cults. You're all in or you're not all in.
Wow.
So once you're all in, you have to go with everything that the leader says. And here you got a leader who's saying insane, crazy stuff. And then when the leader says to the followers, you know, Lion Ted needs to endorse me, right? Or
kiss
he's a
ring.
Sellout. He's a betrayer. He's a Judas. You know, his career's over. Then they all line up.
Mm.
Peter King, Chris Collins, Sarah Palin, all the rest of them, and they do it. And I'll tell you, this is scary.
It is scary.
I used to look at people on the left as only being susceptible to this kind of stuff. And now I'm seeing it from people on the right. I'm really losing all of my faith in America and Americans, period. And if there is anything, I know this is a Christian show, if there is anything that this teaches me, it truly is that
would not your trust in princes.
Our faith in God alone.
That's true.
You know?
As a matter of fact, the psalmist says, put not your trust in princes. But I will say that, let people truly vote their conscience. And
right.
I know in my case, I've got to look at the issues of life, the Supreme Court, all these different issues. And I see one way that's just purely going down the wrong path. And I see another one that there's at least a possibility. I mean, like Mike Pence adds some stability to this whole thing. But we're basically out of time. ConservativeReview.com, that's one of the places where people can read your stuff, right?
Yeah, in fact, what I'm reading, the things I've said today are so fresh in my memory, almost verbatim, because at the start of this interview, I had just sent
just
in the article.
Posted another one.
So people could go there and check it out, ConservativeReview.com.
Hey, Paul
yes,
Kanger,
sir.
Always a pleasure. Thank you so much for being with us.
Well, thanks, Jerry. Anytime.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye.
All right.